Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, April 29th, and coming up in today's episode, Supreme Court upholds use of spyware for security, urges caution on civil liberties in Pegasus hearing. Security crackdown intensifies in Kashmir following Pahalgam attack. Congress targets Prime Minister Modi over Pahalgam attack. Absence, BJP hits back. Liberals win Canada election as Carney vows to stand firm against Trump's tariff threats. The Supreme Court today said that the use of spyware by the central government for national security purposes is not inherently wrong, as long as it does not target members of civil society. The remarks come during a hearing on petitions related to the Pegasus surveillance case. Pegasus is a sophisticated spyware tool developed by Israeli firm NSO Group, capable of infiltrating smartphones without detection. The controversy began in 2021 after a global media investigation suggested that thousands of individuals, including politicians, journalists, and activists, may have been targeted using the software. The court reiterated that the findings of its technical committee set up to investigate the allegations will not be made public, citing concerns over national security and sovereignty. It is a demand that the petitioners had that the records be made known to everyone. Quote, any report which touches security and sovereignty of the country, it will not be touched, said Justice Suryakant. However, he did add that individuals who suspect that they were targeted could approach the court directly, tell them their name, and would be informed if their name was on the list of people that were being targeted by the Pegasus software. Justice Kant also referred to the recent terror attack in Pahalgam that claims 26 lives, stressing the need for heightened caution. He noted, and I quote, the kind of situation we are facing now, we have to be careful. When a petitioner's counsel, senior advocate Sham Divan, demanded full disclosure of the committee's report, the bench maintained its stance on limiting public access. In response to references made by petitioners to a U.S. district court's ruling against NSO Group, Justice Kant said that yes, individual apprehension must be addressed, but it cannot be made a document for discussion on the streets. Justice N. Koteshwar Singh, also on the bench, underscored that the issue lies in who is being targeted. Quote, what is wrong if the country is using spyware? Let us be clear, no issue in having spyware. Using against whom is the question. Of course, if it is used against a civil society person, that will be looked at, unquote. Solicitor General Tushar Mehta, representing the centre, defended the use of Pegasus against threats to national security, claiming that terrorists have no right to privacy. The court committee's report examined 29 phones and found no evidence of Pegasus on any of them, though it did detect malware in 5 devices. The petitioners continue to press for the full report's release. Counter-terror operations are underway across Kashmir today, as security forces continue their crackdown following last week's deadly attack in Pahalgam that killed 26 people, 25 tourists and 1 local Kashmiri. Officials confirmed that joint teams of the Indian Army and Jammu and Kashmir Police are conducting multiple operations with a heightened focus on South Kashmir. 2 of the operations are continuations of earlier encounters and are currently taking place in Yarwan Forest area of Shopian district. Another significant effort is also underway in Pulwama. Army sources stated that counter-terror activity has been ramped up across the region, particularly in the densely forested and rural belts of southern Kashmir. An official source said, and I quote, security has been significantly increased in Shopian and Pulwama district, where intensive search and combing operations are ongoing. In response to security concerns, authorities have implemented sweeping measures across the Union territory. Nearly 50 public parks and gardens located in areas deemed vulnerable have been closed to visitors. According to government data, 48 out of 87 such sites identified as sensitive have had their gates locked. A number of popular tourist spots have also been made off-limit. These include Dudhpatri, Kukarnag, Dukshum, Shinthan Top, Ashabal Banguswali, Margan Top, Tosa Maidan, and Verinag. Many of these locations have been promoted as alternative tourist destinations in recent years. The decision to close the public spaces and resorts come exactly a week after the gunmen opened fire on tourists at Baisaran Meadows near Pahalgam in Anantnag district. Most of the victims were holidaymakers visiting the region during spring season, which has traditionally been considered safer for tourism. Since the attack, security forces have intensified efforts to dismantle terrorist networks suspected to be operating in southern Kashmir. The Jammu and Kashmir government has taken the preventative step of shutting down 48 resorts along with more than half of the Union Territory's major tourist spots. Ending the short-lived bonhomie and cross-party solidarity shown by Congress and other opposition parties in the aftermath of Pahalgam attack. Congress is back with its attack against the ruling party, but the BJP is not taking them silently. The grand old party accused Prime Minister Modi of being missing in action during the Pahalgam terror attack, which killed 26 civilians. The party's criticism, which was posted on social media X, where it shared an edited photo of Prime Minister Narendra Modi with the caption, "In times of need, missing." It only shows the clothing of the Prime Minister in an Invisible Man style picture. It only shows the clothing of the Prime Minister and not his face, hands or legs. The Congress questioned Prime Minister's absence from an all-party meeting called to discuss the attack. Party President Mallikarjun Kharge said, quote, "The first question I raised when the government convenes a meeting, the Prime Minister should be present. Since he was not present, we said it was not right," unquote. Prime Minister Modi during the time was at an event in election-bound Bihar where he issued a strongly worded message in English warning those responsible for the attack. The BJP responded with a barrage of accusations from their side. Former Union Minister Anurag Thakur defended Prime Minister's record, citing past action, including India's decision to suspend the Indus Water Treaty with Pakistan. He said, and I quote, "But I don't understand this compulsion of the Congress and other opposition parties of speaking Pakistan's language and supporting Pakistan." BJP IT cell head Amit Malviya criticized the Congress post as a dog whistle aimed at its Muslim vote bank and a veiled incitement against Prime Minister. He accused Congress leader Rahul Gandhi of previously instigating and justifying violence towards the Prime Minister. Party spokesperson Pradeep Bhandari claimed the Congress was taking orders from Pakistan, citing a Pakistani politician who had reshared the Congress's post. "It shows Pakistan is doing batting for Congress. Congress is doing bowling for Pakistan." BJP leader Sajjad Poonawalla added that Congress had become what he called Pakistan Prashta Party. LGP leader Chirag Paswan, an NDA ally in Bihar, also weighed in, contrasting the Congress's tone with more measured address by Jammu and Kashmir Chief Minister Omar Abdullah. The exchange signals the end of brief political pause following the Pahalgam tragedy. Just last week, Mr. Kharge had called for unity, saying this is not the time for partisan politics. The Pahalgam attack, claimed by Resistance Front and Ops Shoot of the Pakistan-based Lashkar-e-Toiba, triggered a large-scale manhunt for 5 terrorists involved. Diplomatic tensions have also escalated, with India and Pakistan suspending key agreements and consular services. Canadians headed to the polls on Monday in a closely watched election centred on the country's response to renewed trade tensions and annexation threats from the United States. The ruling Liberal Party, led by newly appointed Prime Minister Mark Carney, emerged victorious, though projections suggest they may fall short of an outright majority. According to CTV News and CBC projections, the Liberals were leading or elected in 165 of Canada's 343 electoral districts, also known as seats. A party needs 172 for a majority. The Conservatives trailed with 147 seats, while the Bloc Québécois secured 23 and the New Democratic Party won 7. In his first remarks after the win, Prime Minister Carney thanked Canadians for their support and promised to take firm stance against US President Donald Trump's policies. Quote, "President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. That will never happen," Carney said, addressing a crowd of supporters in Ottawa. He added, "We are over the shock of the American betrayal, but we should never forget the lessons," vowing to lead Canada through the challenging days ahead. as tensions with Washington escalate over tariffs and sovereignty concerns. He also promised to strengthen Canada's global alliances. Quote, "We will work more closely with our partners in Europe and beyond to reduce our reliance on the US." Liberal leader Mark Carney replaced Justin Trudeau in January, taking over at a time when the Conservatives held a strong lead in the polls and there was a massive disappointment against the Justin Trudeau-led government by people, especially when it came to cost of living crisis. But Carney's tougher stance on US trade issues helped reshape the campaign narrative and rally Liberal support. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre conceded defeat and pledged to cooperate with the Liberal government in defending Canadian interests. "We will always put Canada first. Conservatives will work with Prime Minister and all parties to get new trade deal that put these tariffs behind us." Meanwhile, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh resigned after losing his seat in Burnaby Central. "We are only defeated if we stop fighting," he told supporters, acknowledging the disappointing result for his party. Nearly 29 million of Canada's 41 million citizens were eligible to vote. While final results are still pending, the Liberal victory marks a significant political turnaround and sets the stage for a key talk with Washington in the days ahead. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.